Hello and welcome, glory to God for this new day, and we can just praise God because He loves each one of us and He cares for all of us. And so Pastor Pan loves you, but Jesus, He loves you even more, that He laid His life down for you to save you from the depths of hell and also sin and the bondage of the world. He set you free so that you may live a life that is full of meaning and purpose. So today we're going to go into the Word of God, which is alive and powerful. The Word of God, which is so good. And we praise God for each new day, for His mercies are new every morning, morning after morning. Amen.
Amen.
So we're joined by a special guest, Baby Pan, right here. He is here to... He just ate. And then his name's Noah. He is 1 month old. And right now, he's ready to hear the Word of God, to be equipped with the Word of God, and to experience more and more of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so welcome. I'm so glad that you guys are here. And we're going to be looking at altering God's altar. And it's from 2 Kings chapter 16, verse 10 to 20. So listen carefully, and if you don't understand, it's okay. We can take some time to get to understand and know what the Word of God means, right? Yes, amen. Amen. And so, then King Ahaz went to Damascus to meet Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria. And he saw an altar in Damascus and sent to Uriah, the priest, of a sketch of an altar and detailed plans for its construction. So Uriah, the priest, built the altar in accordance with all the plans that King Ahaz had sent from Damascus, and finished it before King Ahaz returned. And then, when the king came back from Damascus, he saw the altar. He approached it and presented offerings on it. And then he offered his burnt offering and grain offering, poured out his offering drink offering, and sprinkled blood of his fellowship offering on the altar. As for the bronze altar, he stood before the Lord, and he brought from the front of the temple, from between the new altar and the temple of the Lord, and then he put it on the north side of the new altar. And King Ahaz then gave these orders. King Ahaz was an evil king. He gave these orders to Uriah the priest. On the large new altar, offer the morning burnt offering and the evening grain offering, the king's burnt offering and his grain offering, and the burnt offering of all the people of the land, and their grain offering and their drink offering, sprinkle on the altar of the blood of the burnt offering and sacrifices. But I will use the bronze altar for seeking guidance. And Uriah the priest did just as King Ahaz has ordered. And then King Ahaz took away the side panels and removed the basins from the movable stands, and he removed the sea from the bronze bull and supported it and set it on the stone base. Now, let's keep going. Verse 18. And he took away the Sabbath canopy that had been built at the temple and removed the royal entryway outside the temple of the Lord in deference to the king of Assyria. And as the other events of Ahaz and what he did, are they not written in the book of annals of the kings of Judah? And Ahaz rested with his fathers, and buried with them in the city of David. And Hezekiah, his son, succeeded him as king, which shows the line of David, the kingship of David, continued to live on to, which eventually came to Jesus. But we can see how bronze bulls or golden bulls or bulls in general were a big problem during this time. And if you watch the Olympics, there were a lot of disgusting things going on in the Olympic openings. Just like they reenacted the Lord's Supper picture with just inappropriate things. And so that's why we must... That's why we must be aware of what's going on, how much evil there was. And then as they were carrying the flag of the Olympics to the front, there was also, by the big logo of the Olympics, there was a big bull right next to the Olympic sign. And so that was just something that was something off. But we're going to look at the word of God. We're going to see what it has to teach us. And there's many reflections. And there's many good things that we can learn and reflect on this. And so as we go into this verse 10 to... You like it forward, huh? You like it forward, don't you? Yeah, you guys can see the head. So, King Ahaz, he went to Damascus to meet Tiglath. And he was impressed with the Assyrian altar, an unholy altar that he saw in Damascus, made a commitment to follow the false gods of Assyria. And he made a sketch of the altar. And he sent that sketch to Uriah the high priest with orders to complete it before he returned to Damascus. And then he approached that unholy altar in worship and presented offerings to the Assyrian gods. The burnt offering, the grain offering, the drink offering, the sprinkled blood on the fellowship of peace offering. And he moved the Lord's, God's, Yahweh's bronze altar from the central position in the temple and replaced it with a new altar, the unholy altar, the false god, and then had the Lord's altar moved to the north side. And he ordered all offerings thereafter to be made on that new unholy altar, which was a tragic worship of false gods, false idols. And then he practiced witchcraft in the temple itself, and setting aside the Lord's bronze altar for his own personal use, for him to use when he needed to seek special and personal guidance from his false gods of divination. And then he corrupted the high priest, forced him to engage in false worship, and he confiscated the brass from the furnishing, and he removed the Sabbath canopy and the royal entryway to the temple in order to show deference to the Assyrian ruler, not offending but pleasing him. So he was pleasing man instead of pleasing God. And his achievement was written and summarized in the book of Chronicles, and his death and burial was in Jerusalem, and his son Hezekiah was able to succeed him. Now King Hezekiah, I believe, was a good king, but we will see tomorrow what it is all about. And so here we can look at this reflection. We can all learn something so, so important. There's subtle idolatry. After Judah and Assyria's victory over Israel and Aram, Judah's king Ahaz goes to meet the Assyrian king in Damascus. And Ahaz, he sees an altar there and was so impressed that he sends instructions to his own priest, Uriah, to construct one that looks exactly like it. And then when the king returns to Judah, the altar is already built and ready for him. And the altar is modeled after the altar of a foreign god. But Ahaz follows the Mosaic practices, presenting offerings and sprinkling blood. Mosaic means Moses, the time of Moses. And Ahaz may appear to follow God's law, but he is inspired by an idolatrous worship. May we not make the same mistake and deceive ourselves into thinking that we are offering wholehearted worship when we are inspired by worldly values. Instead, we should be inspired by God and God alone, inspired by the one true God, Yahweh, by Jesus. Be inspired by him because he is the true inspiration. He is the visible image of the invisible God. He is the visible representation of the invisible God. That is Jesus himself. And we are inspired by him, by his creation, by his... We are his creation. And so we absolutely must not have subtle idolatry, but have full idolatry in the name of Jesus, to follow him, all that we do, all that we say, and all that we think. So, God is the one that can be the one. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. God is the only one that we long to follow, the only one that we long to worship because of what he's done on that cross. He came from heaven to earth to exchange his righteousness for your unrighteousness, so that you may be made righteous, and so that you may enter into the gates of heaven, into the presence of God, into a relationship with him. It's so important to know what is in front of you, to be aware of the things of the world that is tempting you, that's bringing you down, that's wasting your time, that's distracting you from the one true God, so that we don't worship the things of the world. We don't go to the things of the world when we are needing a breakthrough, or when we are bored, or when we are just lost. We don't go to the world. We don't go to people. We go to God first. And God will lead us towards the right direction. And Ahaz here, he's going to the world. He's been inspired by the world. Yes, you can gain inspiration from the world, but true inspiration comes from God himself. And he will guide you. He will lead you. And he will give you an ability to create things that you never imagined you can create. And so we praise God for that. So don't make the same mistake as Ahaz. Don't deceive yourselves. Don't follow in the ways of the devil, in the ways of the world, because that way is wide. Everyone's going that path. But go the ways of God, the narrow path, the hard path. But you see, the God's path leads you towards eternal life, eternal joy, eternal peace. God's path is the best path you can ever take. A relationship with Jesus is the best relationship you can have in the world. And that's why we must walk in the ways of the Lord each and every day and praise him for his new mercies are new each and every day. Amen. Amen. So let your heart be aligned with God's heart. Ooh. All right. Oh boy. You are moving. He's moving. Yeah. Praise God. And then number two is restructuring and deconstructing. Ahaz partially disassembles and reorganizes pieces of God's temple. He cuts off and removes items that's been part of Judah's worship to God for a long, long time in the temple of Solomon. And the reason Ahaz reorients the space is because he wants to show respect. To who? Is it to God, Yahweh? No, it's to the Assyrian king, which was putting the Assyrian king above the one true God, which was a mistake. And Ahaz, his action displays the true object of his worship. He was not truly worshiping and focused on the God Almighty, the God who saved them and rescued them from the slavery, the bondage of Egypt, of sin. And so, his focus was not primarily on God. His highest respect is for the leader of Assyria, the king of Assyria. And so as Christians, your focus must be primarily set on Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Messiah. You must be focused and set your eyes on things above and not on earthly things. There is no other person or thing that can deserve any higher respect than our Lord, our God Almighty. Amen. And so he deserves it all the honor, all the glory, all the praise. He's the creator of all things. He is the king of kings, lord of lords, Alpha, Omega. He's bigger, beginning and end. He is our king. And he is the one that loves us like no one else. He is the one that unites us like no one else does. You see, Jesus, he was called a teacher when he had no degree. He was called a king when he had no palace. He was called Savior when he died on the cross, but he rose from the dead. He's called Messiah. He is Emmanuel, God with us. He is the bread of life. He is the living water. in every aspect of your life. Let us offer our worship to the one true God and glorify Him in all that we do. He is the sovereign Lord God. He is our deliverer. He is the one that sets us free from the things that we cannot be freed from sin, from bondage of hell. We cannot break free of that. But because of what Jesus did on the cross, He made a way for us to live a life that is free from sin, from death, from the sins of the world, because He has overcome the world. And we too, when He lives in us, when the Holy Spirit is in us, we too overcome the world. When Jesus lives in victory, we too live in victory. So in every season, in the highs, the lows, in the difficulties, in your circumstances, always go to God. Now I've been praying for blessings. I've been praying for protection, provision of God. And that's fantastic. God does that for us. But ultimately, we want Jesus to enter into our life, to transform our life, to guide us. We want Jesus to take over our life and to let His will be done in and through our life. And that is gonna result into beautiful things that you can never have imagined. You see, this baby boy, well, I never imagined I would be a father. Would never imagined I would have a son. Never imagined I would be in this place with a full-time job, with a loving wife, with everything I need, with shelter, clothes, and a live stream. I never imagined I can get here. Never. But God, He can do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can imagine, all that you can think of, all that you can ask of. And that's why we praise God. And that's why we have this Jesus time. And we focus on Jesus, focus our eyes on Him, so that we will realign our hearts and organize it according to God's will. Because His will is the best will for us. His will is good. His plans are good for us. It's higher than our plans. His thoughts for us is way better than our own thoughts. And so that's why we want to come before Him, love Him, praise Him, honor Him, glorify Him. For God is the one who gave us so much more than we can ever ask for. He gave us more than enough already. He is God Almighty, El Shaddai, God of more than enough. He is Jehovah Jireh, my provider. He supplies all of my needs. And so we praise God because He is a beautiful God. And He's a God who never lets us down. So He already gave us salvation. Salvation from death, that eternal separation from God. No longer do we have to worry about that judgment, because we know that He promised us eternal life, that promised land of His eternal presence, His glory, His honor, His that He shares with us in heaven, His presence. No more sorrow, no more pain, no more sickness. This is the promised land. This is the eternal life that we have in Christ, in God. And not only that, but He also gave us God, who lives in us, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, who lives in each one of you. When you accept that gift of the Holy Spirit, you are transformed inside. You're guided. You're not alone yet. Not ever alone. Don't let anyone tell you that you're alone, because you have the Holy Spirit with you, who brings you out of the darkness, who guides you through it. Through the storms, as you face your giants, as you go into the burning furnace of fire, He is there to prune you, to make you whole, to build you up, to give you more than enough. And so we praise God for allowing us to build our life upon His firm foundation, for Him to be our cornerstone, for Him to be our foundation, for Him to be our strong tower, for Him to be our guide, giving us the blueprint of our life, and so that we can live for Him and not for ourselves. We can live for His glory, something greater, a story that's so good. The story of redemption, reconciliation, a story of mercy and love. Amen. Fred from Zambia, welcome. I'm so glad you're tuning in. And so we're here from verse 10. And we're really learning about how good, how awesome our God is. How He never lets us down. And how He gives us freedom. Freedom from the bondage of hell. Freedom from the things that are lying to us. The things that are leading us astray. Because Jesus, He's the way, He's the truth, and that truth will set you free. And He's the life, and it is a great life. And so, apparently, Tiglath-Pileser summoned all the rulers from his new vassal states to meet him in Damascus. While there, Ahaz became so impressed with the Assyrian altar and subsequently made a commitment to follow the false gods of Assyria. And note that he made a sketch of the altar, and he sent that sketch back to Jerusalem ahead of him, issuing the priest, a high priest, to build the altar, and he wanted it complete before he returned to Damascus, from Damascus. And then Ahaz, he approached the unholy altar in worship and presented offering to the false Assyrian gods. And since Assyria had just rescued him from the attack of Israel and Syria, most likely he was offering thanks to the false gods for the deliverance instead of God, the one true God, Yahweh. And note that the offerings he presented to the false gods seems to be the very offerings he presents or presented by true believers during that time. So what exactly God has commanded to be offered to him, to God himself, the one true God, Yahweh, Yeshua, was now being presented to a false god. What belonged to God was now being turned to a false idol. And shockingly, Ahaz actually moved the Lord's throne bronze altar from the central position of the temple and replaced it with an unholy altar by placing the unholy altar in the central position within the temple. He made a total commitment to forsake the true worship of the one true God. And now he was totally committed to the temple, serving the false gods and destroying the true worship of the Lord. I'm in California right now. And turning to the high priest Uriah, King Ahaz gave orders for all regular offerings thereafter to be made on the new altar. And tragically, he was instituting a false worship within the temple, very temple of God. But more shockingly, Ahaz, he practiced witchcraft in the temple by setting aside the Lord's bronze altar for his own personal use. And he wanted to use it when he felt the need of special guidance from his false gods of divination. And the word inquire means to search and seek out, which often refers to seeking the counsel from the world of occult, and by forcing the high priest to engage in false worship. Ahaz, the king, corrupted the high priest, which led the whole nation astray. And Ahaz even stole from the brass of the furnishing of the temple. And finally, in order to please the Assyrian ruler, Ahaz removed the Sabbath canopy of the royal entry to the temple. And by doing so, he was showing deference to the Assyrian king, seeking not to offend, but rather to please him. So according to 2 Chronicles, Ahaz went far beyond what is described in 2 Kings, which we just read. He even closed the temple, plundering, destroying its furnishing, barricading the doors, the temple of Solomon. And furthermore, he's also set up false altars at every street corners of Jerusalem and built false worship centers in every town of Judah. and in evaluating his life, few men or rulers have ever lived such wicked lives and brought so much evil upon the nation and its people as Ahaz did. So, in summary of this, this shows that all this not only speaks of Ahaz, his depraved spiritual condition, but was probably carried out as an expression of his goodwill towards Tilgath-Pileser of Syria, Assyrian king, offering nothing offensive to the Assyrian king, which henceforth would be practiced. And thus, Ahaz go to his reward, clothed, spiritually speaking, in an Assyrian mantle. Well, we can see how Ahaz, or God was, or King Solomon, when he was rich in his wisdom, rich in his glory, rich in his military, rich economically, when he was rich and powerful as one nation of Israel, kings and queens visited from all over the world, and then they bowed down to the one true God. They respected King Solomon's God, which is Yahweh himself. But Ahaz, being on the line of David, line of Solomon, he did exactly the opposite. Instead, he caved in to the false gods of the Assyrian king. And he went his way to worship false gods. And that's why it's so important that we are aware of the false gods that are out there. How there is even King Ahab and Jezebel, the queen, they went the wrong way. And that was because of the worship of false gods. And so, Ahaz, his savior, became Tiglath-Pileser of Assyria, the king of Assyria. His savior was not Yahweh, was not God himself. His savior was another person, another king. And it is proven over and over again that people let people down. Proven again and again that people are not able to satisfy another fully and come short. But the only one who can come through and who satisfies and who never fails is Jesus Christ himself. Jesus never fails us. Right, Charlotte? Amen. But we praise God that God's word continues and that God's word is a promise to each one of us that we can trust, that we can walk in, and that we can depend on, because what he says will come true. And he said, through the line of Abraham, Jacob, Isaac, will come the Savior. That's Jesus Christ himself. Through the line of King David and King Solomon came out eventually Jesus. They are like the great, 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 great grandfather. I would say 20 years. Yeah, it would be. They're like forefathers of Jesus. And because of what Jesus has done, he's the perfect king. Seeing all these imperfect kings, we can see the brokenness of the world, brokenness of people, and how all have fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned and did not reach and measure to perfection like God is. He's perfect. He's the perfecter of our faith. He's perfect. And the wages of sin is death. And that death is not just a physical death. It is a spiritual death, an eternal death, a separation from God, eternal separation from God, in the lake of fire, in pain. And that death is something that no one wants to be at. And so, I'm so glad you guys are here, that we're able to come together and have Jesus time. Talk about Jesus. Talk about how good he is. Talk about how he's our Savior and what he's done. He came from heaven, giving up his divinity, giving up his glory, his power, and then coming down to earth to live as a human, to live as a man, a carpenter's son. And then he was not born in the royal family. He was born into a manger. He was rejected by his own people, rejected by so many people, rejected by the high priest. The high priest offered him up, just like they offered the Lamb of God in the Old Testament. The high priest offered Jesus, said, "Give us Barabbas. We want, give us Barabbas. Crucify Jesus." And Jesus, he took 39 lashes of whipping on his back. And that whipping is with stones and glass, which tore his flesh. And Jesus, then he carried the cross out up the Mount of Skull. And then he was crucified there, pierced through his hands and feet. And then he was stabbed by a javelin, and he was buried for 3 days. Then he rose from the dead, defeating sin and death. Rose from the dead, saying, "I am the resurrection, I am the life." He rose from the dead in victory, his soul, having victory over that death. We no longer have to live in fear of death, in fear of sin. Now we can live in victory, in freedom in Christ. And he ascended to heaven, giving us salvation, giving us hope, giving us everything that we need in life. And he not only gave us salvation, but he also gave us the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, to live inside us, to set us free. Amen. Praise God for giving us so much more. And we praise God for that. So, there's only one man who can save us, and that is Jesus Christ himself. The Assyrian king may have saved Ahaz during that time as a king, his time on earth, but could not save him from eternal damnation, eternal lake of fire, eternal punishment, destruction, ruin, corruption. But Jesus can. But once you die, it's over. And too many people are procrastinating and saying, "Tomorrow I'll give my life to him. Tomorrow I'll submit my life to him." What if there's no tomorrow? Then it's going to be too late. Then it's going to be game over. Then you're going to lose the game. But if you say yes to Jesus, then you will have victory. And you will have promise of salvation, of eternal life. No more sorrow, no more pain. That's the place that we want to go to. And so, we praise God for saving us, for dying on the cross for us, for giving us a second chance, more chances than we can imagine, and for being the living sacrifice to God for us, so that we may be redeemed and reconciled into a relationship with our Heavenly Father. Amen. The wages of sin is death. But God gave us eternal life, everlasting life, through Jesus, our Messiah, our Savior. Because God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son. Whoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, the Son of Man, he comes to seek and save which was lost. People who are lost. He come to save the sick. He didn't come to condemn the world, but to save the world. God exalted Jesus to his right hand to be a prince and savior, and giving you repentance and forgiveness of your sins, of your mistakes. No longer are you held down by the shame. No longer are you held down by your mistakes. No longer are you held down by rejection. But you are free. free indeed in Him. Amen. So let us walk in His ways each and every day. Let us not be afraid to say yes to Jesus each and every day. Jesus forever. This is the best relationship you can ever have. Amen. So, for a question, what worldly values may be influencing your worship of God? Worldly values influencing my worship with God. Well, I think something for me, I'm a prideful man sometimes. Actually, I think I'm pretty humble too, but what are some values? I think one value would be that growing in the Silicon Valley, living here in California, Bay Area, we're always busy. We don't like to be bored. We don't like to be just doing nothing. We like to be busybodies and always doing something. Whether it's wasting your time, scrolling your life away, whether it's gaming your life away, whether it's taking substances and drinking your life away. Whatever it is, those things are huge influences in our life. It could be chasing girls and desires of the flesh, which will influence our worship with God. If we truly want to worship Him, we got to know who He is, what He wants for us, and how He can live with us, walk with us in everything that we do. Amen. How can you ensure that you offer wholehearted worship to Him? Well, repent every day. Diligently seek Him. Diligently do what He's caused us to do. Diligently be in His presence. Amen. Amen, Marsh. Number 4. What do your words and actions reveal about the primary focus of your worship? Good morning, Kay, Stacy. What do your words and actions reveal about the primary focus of your worship? You see, when I'm close and in tune with God, my words become more patient. My voice becomes softer. And I become nicer. My words become more encouraging. My actions more acts of service. And that's because everything I do, I wanted to glorify God. And not myself. To bring Him praise. To lead another to Him. Number 4. How can you demonstrate that Jesus Christ is your true Lord and glorify Him in every area of your life? Well, I do this live stream every day. When I can, God willing. Speak of the name of Jesus. Sharing about Him, how good He is. He is my true Lord and my Savior. And that's why I'm here. And that's why I'm showing up, even though I'm exhausted. Taking care of the baby. 4 hours sleep yesterday. Another 4 hours today. Oh boy. But I'm still here. The show must go on. Haha. Glory to God. In every area of my life, relationally, have godly relationships. Mentally, have godly input into my life. Spiritually, be rooted in the Word of God every day. Financially, God supplies all my needs, and I want to give back to Him as well, that 10% that He deserves. Relationally and socially, I feel like God has given me the abilities to socialize much better. We give Him glory for that. Amen. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm exhausted, but I'm encouraged. So, may God be with you. May God bless you. Oh yeah, let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this wonderful day. Thank you for this Saturday. Thank you that we're able to come together to worship you, to glorify you, to be part of your kingdom. And Lord, I pray that everyone here, under the sound of my voice, will experience your glory, will experience your presence, will experience your goodness, will know that you are the one true God. Father God, we know that you never let us down, and that you set us free from the bondage of sin. That's why we worship you. That's why we come before you, because you never let us down. We know you are the true one, OG. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Just like this baby sleeping, I'm sleepy too. I'm gonna be just napping. But I'm so glad you guys are here. El Prince. Thank you. Eva Bobbies. Stacy says, God bless you, Pastor. Amen. Godchild, thank you for the follow, for the subscribe, guys. Really helps the channel. Thank you for the likes. Meditate on the Word of God day and night. Have them written on your heart. Amen. Amanda Marie. Hi. Good morning, family. Yeah. Well, blessings. May God bless you. Be with you. Panda out for now. See you next time.